I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do drugs. I play video games.
Oh, it's an exciting time then.
Hello! Talk Radar is underway. E3 is behind us. Everybody happy about that?
Yes.
Yay!
Were we the only people who did E3 awards? I thought everybody did E3 awards. We were talking about that in the elevator.
Yeah, I would have assumed everyone would have had them up by now, but I saw Game Trailers send an email about them.
There's nothing to award. There's hard to get excited.
I don't disagree there. I fought to call the awards the indifferenties.
What would the statuette be for that?
Uh-huh.
What would the statue...
I wanted just an expression, the Steven Seagal.
That's true. We had to...
Plunger, but everybody shot that down.
We had to argue down all of his suggestions for what the indifferentie would be, because none of them were game-related. They were all old actors.
I suggested an otter. That was too cute.
Who's indifferent to an otter?
Yeah, I mean, everybody loves otters.
I know. That's what I'm saying. But I just like otters. But I didn't see any other awards yet. Were we the only ones who fucking stayed up all night and cranked one out in the hotel room?
Yes, we were.
Pat ourselves back. Thank you.
Yeah. Go look at the. Yeah. Go look at the E3 awards that we gave. They're all totally serious and the best there ever will be.
Yes, totally.
They're on our website. You may know it as GamesRadar.com.
I'm going to talk about that a little later, but...
P.S.
What?
P.S. This is Nintendo editor Brett Elston.
Everybody knows you by now.
We should say who we are.
You're a legend, fool.
Yeah, we should say who we are. And by the way, this is Michael Raparez, PlayStation editor.
No, I'm not doing it.
Don't talk over me, you fucker.
No, fuck that. This is Michael Raparez.
You lie!
I'm Michael Raparez.
I'm Spartacus.
This is Gaylord Rostower, and I'll be your podcaster today. Fuck it. We're going to go right into the top 7, which is all part of our 7 out of 10 week. Which, has that generated much interest?
Yeah, actually it has.
Some interest, yeah.
Yeah, you know, we have been on Dig a whole bunch. I just haven't seen a lot of links from other blogs and whatnot.
Well, they're just jealous of our awesome
That's
topic.
What I thought. That's what I thought. That's why I think they didn't even bother to produce any awards content, because we did it all.
So yeah, what is like, 7 out of 10 week?
Don't rush. Podcast.
Glad you asked.
7 out of 10 week is a celebration of mediocrity that's lasting all this week, or has lasted all this week, because you'll be hearing this on Friday. And we just came up with the idea as a joke. And
It made us laugh,
and that's why we went with it. Because if it's stupid enough to make us giggle, then it's guaranteed to make somebody else out there on the internet at least chuckle a little bit. And that's what we're about.
Michael, I have a question. You said a celebration of mediocrity, but isn't 7 out of 10 a good score?
I'm glad you asked, Charlie.
Oh!
Because, no, as we state in the What is 7 out of 10 week article, available for you to read on GamesRadar.com, it's actually...
I've heard that site only posts boob features.
Yeah.
Wow, we are angry.
Make me bellow like an ox. Jesus
Christ. Oh, who let the ox into the room?
Anyway, as we explain in the What is 7 out of 10 feature... game critics today don't really use the whole scale that's available to them.
No.
This is a widely known fact. Everybody knows this. Everybody complains about it because we are raised in a school system that says that anything below 60% is a failing grade. So anything below a 6 is viewed as just additional punishment for a game you didn't like. Therefore, a 7 is kind of a very mushy middle score when it sounds good. But it's really just like, well, it's the game isn't good enough for an 8, and it's not quite bad enough for a 6. It's just sort of mediocre. And also, I, as a fictitious reviewer, have no balls.
Yes, and one stupid little kid will rent it and enjoy it and have fond memories of it.
Yeah. When in reality, a lot of games that, in my opinion, get 7s to me are much more of a 5. Because a 5 is supposed to be middle of the road, average, decent even, but... I don't know.
Nobody will even look twice at a 5.
No, I want to get into Charlie's top 7, but I have noticed just about everything I reviewed about a year ago, I would score 2 points lower, no matter what. Seven or not. Anything below an 8, like, I would always score it lower. The superhero games I give a 5, I would take them down to 3 now.
I gave a 4 to Spider-Man 3. It was a piece of shit.
You did? I would have scored it probably a little lower.
Well.
But that's what I'm saying.
Hop in your time machine and do it.
That's what I'm saying. In hindsight, not only was it mediocre, it's also terrible.
It's also bad, yeah.
Yeah, it's a much more terrible now that we've received much better games that are superhero games. Whatever. But why Charlie Barrett?
Oh, by the way, I'm Charlie Barrett, Microsoft editor. I was waiting for you to introduce me earlier in the program.
Ladies and gentlemen, Charlie Barrett.
That's more of a frontiersman call to arms than a...
I think that was Lou Gehrig's death rattle.
Oh, great.
All right, now follow that.
Oh, a joke I don't get. Wonderful.
I think it's to do with some kind of sport.
Get that ox out of here.
What are we talking about?
Why are games mediocre?
I think the question is...
I'm segueing to your top 7.
I think by default, some games would have to be mediocre, because some are good and some are bad and some are mediocre.
Oh my god, and games are art. Yes, yes, yes. But remember the thing you wrote on Monday?
Oh, okay, okay.
You could have just asked, hey Charlie, what was the top 7?
Holy shit, I thought we had it before. I thought you could read me.
So every week we post a top 7 article.
Yes, and, it's 7 of the top things.
This week being...
Anyway, let's kick off this 7 out of 10 week. The top 7 on Monday was the top 7 laziest character cliches.
Yeah.
And it was basically just going through, looking at all the games from basically every game and trying to pick out these kind of archetypes that you just see coming over and over and over again. And
it's important that you say, when you say every game, you...
Well, I mean, yeah, you know, all genres and all...
No, I'm saying the art in the game included almost every vendor. Yeah. I think if you're somehow listening to this and haven't checked it out, you should.
It's going to be a little hard to talk about it because you really need to see these photo collages, seeing all these characters. Because a lot of it, even if their personalities were somewhat different, they really repeat the look of these characters a lot. It's amazing how many similarities you can find once you start looking for these things.
Once they find a successful formula, they stick with it forever and ever and ever
So for example, the number seven entry is the brooding pretty boy with common characteristics of pensive expression, slightest of frowns, elaborately coiffed hair, desperate attention seeking through flamboyant and unnecessary accessories, ridiculously large weapon to overcompensate for all of the above. And then the image is very much like a high school collage where you cut out like, all my friends are all the same because I identify with the people like me. And it's a neat image. So you got like Sephiroth.
You've got a bunch of Square characters here, or people that left Square and went on to other companies like Mistwalker.
Lots of impossible hair. Well, I don't know if I'm stating the obvious, but a lot of those were Japanese game characters, and I was just kind of thinking that American protagonists aren't really allowed to emote.
They've got to be... Well, they also don't emote, but they don't emote because they're too tough.
They have to be gruff and unaffected. Yes, yeah. they react with more violence.
Like, that's true.
They'll just scream and run into action, whereas...
They grunt more.
The Which Final is also... Fantasy shit, there's constantly hanging their heads in sorrow.
Yeah.
What do I do?
Oh, no. Dad.
I forgot to buy soap.
All right. What was the next one?
Oh, so also we have these inspirations and antidotes for each one.
Okay.
I don't want to talk about that for this one. We can talk about that in the next one. So the next one was the pure-hearted love interest. So obviously, the main one is Princess Peach. She's blonde and wears a candy cotton pink dress and white gloves, and she's perfect and untouchable. And you always get to the castle, and she's not there. And the common characteristics here are, you know. Once you look at this art, you just find so many of them where they're holding their hand up daintily to their chest as if like, oh, you can't be looking at me. I'm nothing special.
Gaming greatest cock teases.
Yeah, exactly. And then they have a crown. Their hair is pulled back into a demure braid. They're always facing up towards heaven. All the brooding pretty boys are looking down, thinking very important thoughts. These ones are always looking up,
in prayer formation.
Not in a prayer so much, but just like a hope. I'm hoping for the future. I hope I find some hidden power I didn't know about earlier.
Oh, look like they're summoning something.
Yeah.
I hope someone comes to rescue me as I'm staring up at the single moonbeam that's coming through the barred window of my cell. And the inspiration being the Disney princesses with no personality whatsoever.
Right, right. And the antidote being, I don't know if anybody listening will know who this is, but these old PC adventure games, the Gabriel Knight series.
Oh, sorry, I fell asleep for a second.
PC adventure, huh?
Yeah, not action adventure, point and click adventure.
God, even the word is boring. Adventure.
Sorry, I guess you could have called it a real-time pointing, clicking strategy.
You have to use a mouse. It's like a baby toy.
Mouse.
Anyway, the character here was Grace, and she's like the foil in the game, and she's actually smarter than your male protagonist. She's not hot. She's not skin. She's like a bookworm.
She's an ugly old lady.
Well, yeah, according to our forums, she is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, what'd the guy say? Like he hopes no other girls look like that or something.
Yes, I put her in here because through her personality and what she does in the game, you end up really liking her, and she's quite an appealing and attractive character, even though she looks kind of like a librarian. See, she's a lovely lady.
For some reason, Chris has taken off his headset and walking over to Charlie's laptop because he doesn't have two laptops sitting in front of him.
Right.
No, he needs to hog someone else's.
Without a captain. I'm sure that wasn't picked up anyway.
Yeah.
Pooper stain.
Fiddly D.
Shucks.
Okay.
All right. Next on the list of sharks. Okay. Top 7 lazy character cliches. We had the masked man.
Masked mystery man.
Which we actually did a whole article on a few weeks ago, or like a month or so ago, of our boring masked heroes.
I love that headline. Our boring masked heroes.
It's like, it needs to be on a National Geographic cover. Like, our boring masked heroes.
Yeah, it's great. It's great when you put boring into a headline.
Yeah.
That boy
Shane's really proud of you.
It just makes me wonder what they'll name the sequel to Army of Two.
That's true.
Army of Also?
Legion of Two.
Also an army?
Navy of Two.
What's amazing about these masked mystery men?
I think it's the cop-out for trying to have an everyman protagonist.
Yeah, it's like not. Phil, you can put yourself into this role.
You could be under this mask.
Yeah, that could be you.
It's like, no, it really can't. Just have him have a personality and I'll be fine.
This is a recent bout of laziness, because almost all of these in this collage here are from the last year, which is what the point of Shane's article was, that it was all like 2008, 2007.
Yes, very sudden. Dead Space, Dark Void, Halo, Time Shift. Bionic Commando, and the multiplayer, all the characters look like they fell out of Halo 3.
Killzone 2, Haze.
Haze, yeah. It just, I don't know.
What are you gonna... We didn't have Lost Planet in here.
That's true.
He's not wearing a mask, though.
But there are some of them aren't.
Oh, it's multiplayer people are, yeah.
Are they heroes?
Oh, touche.
I'm sure they're heroes to somebody.
It's up to
you. Jesus Christ, that's not fair.
So the next we have somebody. Next we have the buzz cut space dude.
I feel like an idiot. I never noticed that. But
I know, this one's my favorite one because I thought this would be kind of hard to do because they're just like, oh, they're guys that are in space and they happen to have short hair, but there are so many common characteristics, especially the one I like is that... What's that?
You'll clog the instruments. Actually, you got to shave that hair.
That's true. You can't let that troublesome hair get in the way of important space business. I just like how all of them have no hair, but they all have a clearly strong hairline. You can look at them and it's like, there's no way. These guys could grow a full head of hair if they wanted to. They don't want you to think that these guys are middle-aged balding men. No, I mean, they're keeping the hair out because it's important to the business.
They have a black scalp. Michael, are you okay, huh? Okay.
It's like a 5 o'clock shadow on top of their head.
But can beards grow in space?
But I have a beard.
Thank you.
I get it. Go watch The State, kids.
Yay,
it's a great show. If you're watching Reno 911 now, go watch The State. It's the same thing, only better.
But yeah, I think even though there's always fake gravity, Sephiroth would look like a silly goose in zero grav.
That's a bunch of product. His hair would not even move.
Yeah, probably.
But the gravity might, anti-gravity might make him lift his head up.
All this hair looks like it's made of cat whiskers.
Well, it's time we let you in on the secret, Chris.
Next we have stereotypical black guy.
Yes, yes. This one was also surprising when you look at them, how every single one I found, none of them had sleeves. I think Chris pointed this out.
Yeah, I was dying to point it out. I've been dying to point it out for months.
how a game like Resident Evil, who includes black people into a plot rather seamlessly, like it's just a setting, but rather every one of these character designs from all of these games are almost grotesquely racist, because all black characters are thugs with arms the size of elephant legs
and tattoos and big chains.
Yeah,
and they always have their fists clenched, ready to do something tough.
They all these images in the article have
saying some variation on get some.
Yeah, there's like 9 images here. They all have no sleeves. They all have chains. They all have tattoos. They all have these mean countenances.
Countenance.
Oh, don't you ever blank a black man's blank.
I love how you go down to the possible inspiration. It's Mr. T. He looks exactly like all the ones up there. He's got no sleeves. He's got the chains, the key hanging from his chains.
What does the key unlock?
I think it was
his heart.
I knew it was his heart. I was hoping someone would.
Probably gets off his gold chains as is, which is a quote from Mr. T's Be Somebody. He calls them his chains as is, and he lifts them every morning because they're like 30 pounds.
Maybe he keeps his valuables inside that mohawk, and they unlock the mohawk.
I see. So the next we have the animal with attitude, which is
which
we also know as the massive mascot inundation of the late 80s, early 90s, and persisting even today.
Sonic has brought
Sonic and Knuckles are definitely the ones people think of, but there's a million others.
Got Arrow the Acrobat, Ty the Tasmanian Tiger, was Zapper the Ant? What is that?
I don't know.
Wally Firefly.
Rodent? Rockin' Rodent?
Rocky Rodent.
Wally Bear and the No Gang.
Awesome. Arrow the Acrobat.
Bubsy.
My favorite of all these is Sparkster.
That's Sparkster.
That is a great game. Oh, you can go straight to hell if you don't like Rocket Knight Adventures.
No, not all these were bad games.
Dynamite. I said go to hell.
I will go to hell, but for many, many reasons.
That's decided long ago.
No, and then Conker.
I think the best one has got to be Gex or Jex or whatever he is. He's not only got sunglasses on, he's snarling at you, he's a gecko, and he's got his arms folded and is leaning back as if like, yeah, I'm going to loiter, what are you going to do about it?
As if to show off the fact that he has no genitalia to speak of.
I make fun of Bubsy so much because
it's on the inside.
I love that game, and my parents would never get it for me, so I rented it every weekend.
I traded Contra 3 for that game, and it is one of the biggest regrets of my life.
What could possibly go wrong?
More like a wake up in a cold sweat, like, no.
I remember I got...
What have I done?
For me, it was I could either get Lost Vikings or Bubsy, and I chose Bubsy. Oh, and then I spent a good 5 years regretting that decision.
No, I have pictures on my old Trapper Keeper folders of me where I drew Bubsy beating up Sonic because I was so excited about it.
Oh, my.
Well, if you were a Nintendo fan, I mean, that was kind of a big deal because there wasn't any other game that was a ripoff of Sonic.
It was
a blatant ripoff.
It could do blast processing.
What's the image here with the huge rabbit face, like close up on a rabbit?
That's from Flash. That.
I'm afraid to use my internet browser.
What is it?
Flash. There's two extreme animals. There's a bunny with like huge snarling buck teeth, and he's squinting dangerously at you. And he's breaking free from the laboratory because he's got so much attitude. And there's also some weasel.
Chained to a weasel. The flying V guitar.
Oh, God. the cat there?
What was that?
Blinks.
I know it's rad, but I never saw that art. I never thought he was like that kind of character because
I love it. He's got
I've always had a stupid vacuum cleaner.
I think he's playing his vacuum cleaner there as if it's a guitar.
You know, I gotta say, describing stuff. Pictures on the website goes really well over the radio.
We're painting a picture in people's heads.
I certainly hope so.
I want you to picture the uninspired design.
But let's move on.
Final entry.
The last one. Hold on. What is it, Charlie Bear?
It was Half-Naked Women. Oh,
yay!
I didn't wait for the drum roll.
You talked over it. That's okay. The Half-Naked Women.
Yeah, this is easily the one you find more than any of these other cliches. It was also an excuse to put a big collage together of half-naked women. And you really need to see this for yourself, though you can probably imagine it. Just ridiculous outfits that nobody would ever wear except in like a Las Vegas strip club.
If you've played a game or seen any art for the last 20 years, you know exactly what we're talking about.
Some of they're just ridiculous, like this Tabula Rasa girl. Like, I'm sure... Isn't that just a PC MMO and she's for some reason taking off her unitard to reveal her underwear? And then you have This is Blood Rain, I think. For some reason, she's just topless and covering her boobs. No reason, just...
You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to take the pure-hearted princess heads and put them on those bodies. Just to see how confusing it would be for my boner.
Well, that Blood Rain thing, didn't she, like, pose in Playboy or Maxim or something fit like that?
It was
Blood Rain.
Yeah,
it, yeah. And then there was that one chick from Dark Watch who was in Playboy like a year before the game came out or anybody was paying attention to it.
I just love the way you say that. It sounds like we're talking about a real person, but there's no other way.
Yeah,
that's right.
Oh, yeah. Blood Rain posed in Playboy and was not like drawn.
That
in
girl
a cartoon.
Pure Playboy. No, she was sent to Playboy by an email.
It was a very sexy attachment.
Yes.
Oh, then so the antidote to the half-naked women was the woman in Portal who you know they don't make a big deal at all about her being a woman. She's just there.
She does have a name.
Yeah.
What is
and
it?
She's
Joe.
I guess I was in the credits, but they never actually named her in the game itself.
I somehow missed that.
She's almost fully covered here. She's showing some calf muscle, but that's about it.
Yeah,
some wrists.
Disgusting.
Hey there, Harlot, cover up them calves.
And then this is the one.
100 years ago, that would have been scandalous, showing
that's
ankles
true.
Like that.
Exactly. There's some Amish kid in the village spanking that portal pick right now. I have no idea how he got it for that joke to work.
he made it that far in the article.
Yeah, we have tons of
internet.
Amish.
This internet.
We probably
demon.
Don't have many Amish readers.
That's probably a good guess. We should send them an electronic survey to find out.
Yeah. Seriously, we have to deliver our content via horse cart to them once a month. Fucking
just
polio
the
vaccines.
Just the articles printed out,
bound in newspaper reel. Just like, mm-hmm. Here's your top sevens for the month.
Yay!
Hey, the top sevens have arrived, mother.
Chewing that butter.
Gather around the barn.
Oh, we're making Amish jokes.
Oh, that's...
God.
How far
we are,
my
bold
God. What have we become?
They're the only people we can make jokes about that won't get mad at us in the forums or on Dick's comments.
Like, you know, people. Like
is,
people.
Is there a disparaging term for Amish peoples?
Huh.
Like Amis?
Like Amish, maybe? Yeah.
Amis. Come on, man. If somebody can think of one. Beard humpers. Jedediah McBigpew. What? All right.
Jesus. There was a good segue there, and now it's totally lost. I was going to say it's one of the few audiences we can't insult because whatever. Insulted in the way that people were about Michael's 100 lazy game cliches.
Yeah, that was one I would expect like game critics to get really pissed off about that, but surprisingly game critics seem to be the only ones who got it, that it was a joke, and because everyone else is like, oh, this guy has a serious axe to grind, he doesn't stick of reading reviews.
But give an example of a couple of things you said.
A couple of things I said.
Yeah, while you're looking at him, I was
sure. Just a second.
I read the article, and I was in the middle of a preview.
Oh yeah,
and
man.
It made me go back and comb through it for an extra 2 hours to remove everything, even in the spirit of the cliches, because Michael put a fucking lot of them in there. It's infuriating.
Put 100 in there.
Michael ruined it for us all. We have to
I
all
really
get new
did.
Jobs.
How do I post an article on the same day that that went up? This game could be the best thing ever when it comes out. In the fall. Like, how can I talk like that?
To be fair, the number 100 entry is top X lists.
Yeah.
Which we just got done talking about.
Yeah,
it's because they're fun to write, easy to read, and generally quick to put together.
Oh, top's just a headline. Yeah. Hey, Internet, have you ever noticed I use top all the time and never number my entries? Because it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't. Some of the ones I used were, All in All was the very first one, which, of course, everybody picks up on. That's like, oh, no, this is a pretty lame list.
They're not very good writers, are they?
Snap the controller in half frustration. That seemed to piss a lot of people off because it's like, of course I've felt this before. I've always wanted to snap a controller in half strike. You never did, though.
I did.
Tell about the Street Fighter 2,
Nintendo, that stupid ASCII, what was the brand?
Oh, ASCII, yeah.
I cracked that motherfucker in half.
I broke a window because of Street Fighter 2.
Nice.
Really?
Yeah, I put my elbow through a window because M. Bison is an asshole on level 7.
Wow. So much in common.
Huh?
We have so much in common. You want to get a burger?
Let's do that.
Right.
No, I gotta have a Japanese dinner alone with my lady. Sorry.
I think it's legal if you guys get married.
Yeah, that's true.
Awesome.
So anyway, I got put in my place with this, though, because the day after it went up, one of our editors here, who has at one of the magazines, who's requested to remain nameless, sent me an image of a PSP after he got sick of playing Vice City Stories and that stupid ass bikini pool battle. And it's a PSP that's been completely cracked in half.
What
and,
the fuck, really?
Looks like yeah, a lot of
yeah,
strength.
I put it up on the article. It's the dude has good grip. I would not want to get into
office?
A arm wrestling competition.
This picture of this guy is like looking at the Hulk. He's just got.
Is that in our office? Did you say?
I think that happened in our office. I'm not sure.
Was it Andrew?
I'm not gonna say.
And was it Eric?
It was nobody at Game Radar. Jesus.
God damn.
Look, the internet needs to know.
It's the mailman.
Fucking gossip hound.
He said specifically, don't say my name because it's embarrassing.
Somebody at pregnancy.
The image of the cracked PSP will be on the Radar homepage, which is on Games Radar's website.
What was it, Gabe?
No.
It was no one you know. Don't worry.
Don't worry about it. Just sit there.
Holy shit. I'm fucking playing this up. There isn't anybody in the room less worried about who snapped the PSP.
So let's see. The nicknames one. People hated that too. The Nintendo's not Ninty, Shigeru Miyamoto is not Shigzy, Resident Evil's not Rezzy, Reggie Fils-Aimé is not the Reginator, and you are not a small child, so stop writing like crap.
Or Regident Evil.
Never heard that.
I thought that was.
I want to use it.
That was laughing for real.
But
anyway, it's the point I'm making here is we're professionals. We're at least we're supposed to act that way some of the time, and it's really irritating to see people who are supposed to be covering this industry acting all pally with it. And naturally enough, most of the people who got upset about that were British because the Brits love their nicknames, and that's where most of those come from. But just the same,
they called it old English for a reason because they haven't invented anything new. The British speaking cliches, they thrive off them.
It's a small country. They
it's like that episode of Star Trek where they meet the race that can only talk in metaphors.
Really?
Yeah,
that,
Star Trek.
That episode?
Star Trek. Yeah, Darmok. It's from the fifth season of Next Gen. Eh? Anybody? Anybody? Want to talk about Next Gen?
Was that the episode titled The City on the Edge of Who Gives a Shit?
No, that
it's
was
like that, like that episode of...
I know that one. I know that one.
In both of your articles, and I don't feel like I see this a lot, I found in Charlie's Top 7 Laziest Game Clichés and your 100 Lamest Journalist Clichés, a lot of people ran to defend why those are used. I've never seen that happen anymore. Someone signed onto our forums to defend why people design cliched characters. People were all over the place. There, one guy is having a 10-part retrospective on your article that went up on Thursday.
That's so funny.
SB responds. What is it?
Yes.
He's very seriously responding to all 100 entries in an article that's kind
you
of...
Guys, you don't know SB. He's very thorough.
That's...
Apparently
that's
so.
It's a jokey article in the first place, and it's also very insular in that it's making fun of video game journalists, which we are, and every one of us has used those things in the list.
Oh, yeah, I just want to say I'm a terrible offender. I myself used at least 80% of the cliches I criticize. I'm not genuinely venting my spleen. I'm just making fun.
Yeah. It's like everyone's taking it so deadly seriously, and it's like, did you guys forget how to take a joke about anything? It's a hobby.
You know what a fucking douche this guy's going to look like after his 10-part series and he finally realizes he commented on a joke?
And then we've moved on, and we're like months later with the
I tried to warn him. I posted a comment on a site, and he apparently deleted it because he maybe thought it was insulting. I don't know. But, he's
something wrong with the asshole?
Just the site is the Video Game Spectrum, the VGS.net. And he's just, this guy, Sparkling Blue, is just glommed onto it and just going through point by point with these refutations that just suck the fun out of everything I said. And, maybe this is a joke. Maybe, it operates on a level of humor that I'm just not understanding here. And the joke is that he sucks the humor out of jokes. Just things like, white knuckle. What the source says, frequently used when referring to racing games with the idea that you'll grip the steering wheel/controller hard enough to turn your knuckles white. SB says, I love doing that, and that's part of the thrill of racing games.
Yeah,
and it's hilarious.
I see how many black people get that.
What?
White knuckle? I've never seen.
Oh, wow.
Outside of the little ashiness.
And the thing that annoys me, though, is that you don't even have to take this as a joke, because these are all really overused, and we should avoid 70% of these. Some of these we can't avoid, but most of these are cliches that should be avoided, and it was good of you to call them out.
Yeah, well, even if you hate what I'm saying about them, at least recognize, these come up a lot.
That's what I heard it as. But I don't want to change.
I don't want to have to think of a new way to start a final paragraph without saying all in all.
Yeah, that's what
Michael's, or still, comma.
What Michael's shit did to me, I combed through it and I'm like, I don't fucking talk. If this isn't how I talk, I'm not going to put it in the article, and I don't speak in cliches. Most people don't.
Yeah.
And so I tried to make it more my voice, and I fucking appreciate that. And you should too, SB. Respond to that.
Yeah, and I think one of my favorite comments was some guy saying, this guy just seems to hate any creative turn of a phrase or metaphor. It's like, no, that's exactly the point. It's not creative. It's a cliche.
Yes.
I want people to come up with more creative ways to say things.
There's a million other ways you could say that a racing game was fast and frenetic and exciting besides white knuckle.
Yeah,
I mean, that's like not even the most obvious thing that would first come to mind, like white knuckled.
I call them shit slick.
I call it so fast your penis will recede into your body.
That's catchy.
Even if you're a girl. Yeah, I know. I'm gonna get that on the back of a box.
If you're a girl, it's so fast your tits will shoot out your back.
Back tits.
Out your back.
Oh, I love it.
I also want to say the entire inspiration for me for this article is anyone who writes changes.
Yeah, that one came
from really bugs you.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever read, period.
Keep talking about it. I want to play the song a little longer.
What's great is I've never actually heard the song, because it's not popular.
Have you never heard of it?
It's not popular.
Nobody likes David Bowie.
Who's heard of David Bowie? What's rock and roll? Oh, my God. Yeah, that's what I said. No, if you go look on the actual...
listen to techno.
There been a David Bowie song in Rock Band yet? Because then he would know. How would
he? Suffragette City.
Several, I believe.
No, if you look
at... The 80s happened on their own. The 70s came first.
Blah, blah, blah.
I don't care about the 70s at all. If anybody reads and actually looks what his most popular songs were by sales or by sound or like how many like radio stations picked it up, stupid isn't on there.
What do you prefer? For Little Heroes?
It's not on there. I don't even like Heroes.
No?
Fucking boring.
What about Little Life on Mars?
I don't know what that is.
No?
Ziggy Stardust?
Ziggy Stardust?
That's alright.
All right. Starman?
Alright, I don't know.
Whatever. Man Who Sold the World?
I don't know.
These are all the biggies, Elson.
I don't know. All I know is I got so tired of reading changes everywhere. I was like, I'm going to go look this shit up. And, it's just like, it came out an album and kind of just went away. And some reason people latched onto it 20 years later and only use it when they say, well,
we don't have to be accountable for things we say on the podcast, but don't say the David Bowie album just went away.
Huh?
Albums probably sold fucking millions consistently over
the
last 30 years.
No, compared to his other songs.
I don't know. It's a famous song.
That one.
Yeah.
Compared to his other songs is not up there. It's not.
I know it's on my Yahya Hood Sisterhood soundtrack. I really fucked that up. Yahya Hood Sisterface.
Sisterface.
I just want to say David Bowie did nothing for music.
It's only rock and roll to me, Brett.
That's what?
The heart of rock and roll is the beat. It doesn't matter.
It's still beating.
Oh, my bad. Is that what it is?
From what I see, I still believe him.
What you the don't. Fuck? How do we go this long without a break? We're going to go to break. And when we get back, we're going to talk about mass puppy graves. Can anybody else think of any horrific teas we won't touch? No, it can't be real.
Baby
suicides.
that's a big problem in our country today.
It is.
Somebody call the Pope.
Okay, yeah, we'll be right back.
Talk radar. It's about to burst with snacky happiness.
I'm going to GamesRadar.com. There's nothing more cool than being hugged by someone you like. But if someone tries to touch you in a place or in a way that makes you feel uncomfortable, that's no good. It's your body. No one has the right to touch you if you don't want them to. So what do? First, you say no. Then you get out of there.
Doctor, welcome back to TDAR.
What is O Doctor?
Well, I don't know. It's some some sports commentator.
Yeah, it's like you're just, yeah.
I don't know. Shit you see on fuck. Okay, I'm done explaining myself. Oh, the music that's going on right now is from the amazing, the mighty mighty Twitch art. I don't know if it's Twitch art because I think it'd be funnier. I hope it's Twitch art.
Yeah.
But yeah, he did some amazing stuff for us that he wasn't eligible last time, and this time I decided not to give a fuck and give him first prize because he was the best, and he submitted his own Mega Man Boss, Warhead Man, and Mega Man Music, which you're not now. Say it, Elson. Get it out.
I'm saying this guy, Tweeshart, is posting the forums that won our Mega Man contest that we started a while back for Design Your Own Mega Man Boss, and he not only designed his own boss, named it, he made his own music for it, which anyone who plays Mega Man should know. Mega Man...
What are you doing right now? I just said all that.
No, you didn't. You were like, so this guy won it, and it, like, you use nothing but references.
I said the Mega Man contest. All right. Yes, what Brett said. And
that
you did you have more on that?
No, this guy did a really good job, and he made it. He deserves to win. There you go.
Okay. I already forgot what our next topic was.
Well, keeping in with our 7 out of 10 week, we have shit games that somehow scraped a 7 out of 10.
That's kind of scraped a 7.
They're just games that, you know... they're pretty mediocre or something about them. They're not, like, 7 means good. 7 out of 10 is good. And these games.
But I think it also, at the time, that's what I was trying to bring up before, it means passable at the time. And now it's no longer passable.
Well, it's just the games that.
Mediocrity, contemporary mediocrity has surpassed mediocrity a year ago.
Right.
Well, I think most of these games are just games where even, you know, this is the examples that Michael was talking about where the reviewer didn't have the balls to give it a 6 or a 5 when they thought it was just okay.
Did you struggle with balls?
What?
Did you struggle with you like, balls? I think I hear you curse enough thoroughly. You got the curse.
Balls.
So, the first game he talks about, this was written by Shane Patterson and Tyler Nagata of Games yes. Radar fame.
Patty Melt.
Patty Melt. and the T-Nag. Rez, which some people love more than their mothers.
I'll just say, you know, I don't even like Rez that much, but I saw this and I was like, what the fuck are you thinking? And he's like, it's just not a very good game.
Are you making fun of one of our editors?
Never.
Wait, which one?
Huh?
It's Shane. I want to jump on.
No, it's Tyler.
How come the headline now says crap games that scraped a 7, but the head image on the front of the website said shit games?
Well, I felt that shit was a more compelling feces. And
face if you don't stop.
He said shit, crap, and I stood up and yelled vote.
Why not?
Do we want to get the authors in here to comment on this?
They're gone.
They're gone.
It's too late in the day for that.
Shane had to go home for his nightly mouth.
At this point in the podcast, the boys began to expound upon the sexual habits of Games Radar associate editor Shane Patterson, using extreme references to bestiality, pedophilia, and scatological situations. While all true, Talk Radar is not in the business of offending sexual deviants and opted to remove this segment from the podcast. Talk Radar also extends its deepest apologies to everyone for the interruption. Except Shane Patterson.
Yeah, let's get back on topic again.
You started it.
I
anyway.
Know. I want to fucking keep it.
Anyway, that's what Shane's doing right now.
What is Shane doing?
Whatever we just bleeped, that's what Shane is doing. All right. So after Rez, which does anyone in here have really strong? I know Michael just said he was like, "What the fuck?" But is anyone like super bonafide by Rez? I'm not.
I played it once and I was like, that's enough.
I love techno music. I love weird off the wall games, and I love electronic and just electronica house, any kind of ambient music that I'm just kind of like, oh yeah. Where's the vibrator thing I'm supposed to cram in my butt? What's going on?
Oh yeah, the vibrator is.
And they're like, no, it's not supposed to be.
Oh, the prostate peripheral.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I gotta see you get one.
There's also Nancy Drew games on this list. A Metacritic score of 7.3 out of 10. I mean, I guess if you like pointing at wolves and chairs all day, I guess that's fun.
I just like how they put these, who's to blame for the score being raised up to a 7 when you average everything together. Like, somebody gave Carol Voderman's Sudoku 9.3 out of 10.
I believe it was the same reviewer who gave a higher score to Metal Gear Solid, or a lower score to Metal Gear Solid 4?
I believe that's what's
referenced. Then Sudoku blabbity blook. Hey, wait, why the fuck do you still have the same reviewer on both of those projects? What the hell? Do you just like throw a box of games in the air and have the editors rush to catch them like orphans?
We should do that.
Yeah, we could probably do that.
So, America's Army, NASCAR 07.
Whoa.
Don't boo America.
I can't help it. It's been so bad to me.
America's NASCAR. Oh, Army.
And then the last page of the article is the blandest reviewers in the industry, which was an ongoing process where Shane went and under orders, mind you, to go to IGN, GameSpot, 1UP, and us at GamesRadar to go through and find who was the most, like, who throws the most sevens around.
1UP made it too hard.
1UP made it too hard?
Because their conversion to the letter grades.
Oh, yeah. So it's like it gets a cupcake out of an omelet.
Because an 80 becomes a B+, and a 50 becomes a B-.
And I give it a cheery sunset. So, yeah, we got Ryan Clements from IGN. He's an average review score of 7.06.
Congratulations, Ryan. You've earned this.
Over at GameSpot, with the Metacritic average of 6.9, just a little lower, is Justin Calvert. 1UP, we got Jeremy Parrish, who's a bit
low.
Oh,
yeah, who could forget Jeremy Parrish? Oh, yeah, me.
With an average review score of 7.1. Oh, these were also based on the past 10 reviews.
Their latest 10 reviews.
Their most recent 10 reviews, which, of course, by the time we compiled this data, they may have each all actually reviewed more games. But it doesn't matter. And then for Games Radar, our own Aryan douchebag, Paul Ryan.
Yes! Congratulations, Paul.
I noticed one of the commenters on this seemed to take issue with the fact that we were comparing ourselves directly with IGN, GameSpot, and 1UP. How dare we?
I just
want to say that, you know, our traffic has historically been neck and neck with 1UP. Yeah. And we have surpassed them on more than one occasion. So, we're in there. We're up there.
There's just this thing where people...
Eat a shit, like internet user.
People go to the same two or three sites and assume that anything not that is not a competition. And it's a big internet. There's room for all of these sites. There are things that 1UP does better than us and we can't do. So those
letter
are
great. I don't even know how to CMS that. Do that way better than us.
Yeah.
And so, vice versa.
And vice versa.
As far as the big sites go, 1UP's probably my favorite to read. I don't know. Mm. I don't know. Seem to know their shit, and they're always kind of smart and funny.
Yeah, sure.
Because the other sites have to crank out so much stuff, so it's sometimes, I don't know, personality gets lost, and it's
yeah, trampled. Well, the point is, we didn't point fingers and then not point it at ourselves, so.
Yeah, because I always take issue with Paul. I still can't stop giving him shit about giving Surf's Up a 7.
Yeah.
And I love it that he stands by it. Fun game. You don't know. That was a terrible Paul Ryan impression.
What do you think the developers of Surf's Up gave him? What do you think they bribed him with?
I don't know.
Probably a surfboard.
His very own penguin.
Probably a vacation.
Okay.
Great.
Good. We got through that because we have only a little bit of time left. One break today. I hate it when that happens. What else we have to talk about?
Well, you did play Midnight Club if you want to briefly.
Yeah. What do you want from me? Read the article, people. I'm not going to tell you that. You don't get anything for free.
Well, the article got me interested. I wasn't interested before, so...
Well, I mean, I just had to talk about little things
that
make
it
better than the last... Well, I love the Midnight Clubs, and it's prettier. I did like that it's streamlined, blah, blah, blah. See, I don't even want to talk about this.
Well, what did you say in your article, sir?
Just some of the stuff that makes it different from the last Midnight Club. Because, I mean, for people who like Midnight Club like me, it's always a really well-done racing game. What more do you want?
Well, you said 10 reasons Midnight Club will rock your pants. So give me a reason it's going to rock my pants.
LA. That's not rocking pants.
Dumb little anecdote, because I couldn't get it in the article. I haven't really ever been to LA. I previewed the game before E3, wrote it after E3. So I demo the game, and I'm standing in places of the demo I played, which is really cool. The exact same advertisements, the exact same stores are standing there, street landmarks. I was standing in a shortcut all of a sudden, and I knew where it was on the basis that it had like the same iPod ad. Project Gotham and Midnight Club always, to me, straddle the line between really boring handling racing sim and completely stupid Mario Kart nonsense. And Project Gotham, who knows when we'll get another one of those. So Midnight Club is the next on the list. And yeah, I can't wait to play it. It's the first game that did online racing right. I probably never won a race. Never that good. See, you're all uninterested.
No, I'm listening. I'm even...
What else is there?
This is called listening.
And
I was enjoying my pants being rocked.
Engage.
How does it compare if, say, I just wanted to play the GTA 4 races over and over again?
Yeah,
GTA 4 races. I mean, it's sim-y, but it's just not race oriented.
Yeah, but they're really fun.
Yeah, they are really. Have you tried racing online in GTA? It's almost impossible. You will lose.
Impossibly fun.
I think part of the race there is that you can get out and destroy somebody's car. In Midnight Club, it's a little more realistic. If you run into stuff, you can't. You got to be careful if you're going to run someone off the road.
You can't get out of your car in real life.
What are you talking about? In real life?
Yeah,
I haven't driven in a while. Oh God, Michael is ailing.
He's got a cold.
Try not to draw attention to it, but
all in all, Midnight Club 2 was a madcap romp that is shaping up to be
a rollicking good time.
A fucking hoop.
Excellent.
I'm just so tired, and I really your fucking article made me spend way more time than I normally would in a preview. I'm mad at Midnight Club, and I shouldn't be. I want to play it, but
save your anger for Michael.
All right. I can't talk about Midnight Club 2 anymore.
3, 4.
Fuck everybody! Let's tease something for next week. Who's got what? Oh, actually, I think the day this article goes up, I'll have the Mega Man contest entries page and the however many I can finish mediocre game babes. I hope it's something weird like 14.
Yeah, nice mediocre number.
What is it? What's a good mediocre number?
7.
7. Well, 7's a lucky number.
13's unlucky.
Dude, it's 7 out of 10 week.
14 is consenting in Kentucky.
11. 11's mediocre because it's 2-1s repeated. It's just 1-1.
1-1? Yeah, that's pretty stupid. All right, fine. Fine. 13 it is. I'll have 13 for you tomorrow, readers. Charlie, what you got going on next week?
You'll have it today.
Today! We're coming at you live.
Yeah. I'll have yet another box art feature coming up next week.
Really? You got what kind of box art?
Oh, I don't want to give it away.
I really don't know.
It's about box art.
But box art is the simplest and easiest thing to enjoy. Everyone likes a good box art story.
Who cares about box arts?
And I'm going to spread it onto 27 pages.
But you should do half a piece of box art per page.
A puzzle.
Make the dig users work for it.
Yes.
Yes.
That's what I say.
We should also pimp this 365 days of free games.
I forgot, at E3, my assignment was to came up with the idea to close stand, to stand really awkwardly close to people playing video games. The video just went up the other day, and I don't know, check that out. I haven't seen the entire video yet. Is it funny?
It's funny. I enjoyed it.
That our pretty boss, funny. Stephen Pierce, just kind of, for some reason, just, I want to do this. And Stephen was pure gold for some reason, his reactions to, like, I don't know. He just kept
always looks so gracious, like, oh, sorry.
Yeah, he just like smiles and nods and keeps standing close to them.
It's really funny.
Yeah, check that out. Who else got something to tease or plug?
I'm working on Monday's Top 7. So it's going to be about irritating female characters.
Irritating female characters.
Because I am a raging misogynist. And I hate women who tag along with me in video games.
Yeah, it's taken Michael 2 years to whittle it down to 7.
Yes. It was originally all.
It was all.
I'm just kidding.
How could he possibly write an article about her?
That's so ridiculous. And, I hate women.
Some
so
characters
much.
In games aren't even women. They're men.
Okay.
Ron Alston. Perhaps you'd like to play those games as well.
Brought Alston. I am planning things.
What kind of things?
Space plans.
Space plans.
No, I don't think I have anything posting next week, but I've got things to orchestrate. You'll see them on the news.
Oh, what news?
The real news.
Real news? What?
There's no such thing.
It's called a joke.
What is the real news, man? Fluoride is really just mind control, all three substances. Okay, so Brett Elson isn't doing jack shit. I'll be going after his job. And
oh, I've got things going up. I'm just planning them. I'm also planning every feature in friggin' August, so all of you get used to it.
So am I. You're just never going to get used.
What? Yeah, okay.
I have my own website hidden somewhere on the forums. Can you find it?
You don't know where.
Oh, let's try and give something away. We're going to give away the Guitar Hero on tour tomorrow. But yeah. Got some other crap to give away. Here's a parting thought. I should get my PS3 tomorrow or next week. Kids, I'm going to post something in the forums. Write me in 50 words or less a review-ish type article on what game I should buy for the PS3. Because I honestly don't know. All right, good. We done? We out? Everybody nod? Because it works great on radio. Say goodbye.
I'm nodding.
Bye.
Bye.
Peace, everybody.